Well, it is my pleasure and my privilege to be with you again today for another session in our Sunday school portion of the ministry here at Grace Baptist Church. Today, we want to deal with through the eyes of the Spirit. We might also word that another way, seeing through the lens of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 20, verse 12 reads this way: "The hearing ear," and folks, may I say that the hearing ear leads to a perception, a seeing in the mind's eye. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord, and as we learned last week, I pray, though there were few of you who viewed last week's message, you might want to go back and look at that on the Lord of all. But that particular lesson has made me more aware of looking at the word Lord in the Old Testament and even the word God and being sure what the word translated really is. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord, and that is actually the name again of the Lord God in the Old Testament, Jehovah or Yahweh. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord, Jehovah Jesus, has made them both. Now, doesn't that put it in a bit of a different light? But it's the actual, factual truth of the Old Testament. The seeing eye here, again, is a reference to spiritual sight. Because the Holy Scriptures are spiritual writings, as God is spirit. I want us to look at 1 Peter, first chapter of Peter, just one verse, to view something correlated with what we deal with now, speaking of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. "Of this salvation," if you are saved today, we're talking about your salvation. "Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, diligently, who prophesied of the grace to you." He's speaking to these New Testament Christians. And of course, this speaks to you and I today. "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he," the Spirit of Christ, "testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories of salvation that would follow." The Holy Scriptures are the Word of Christ, folks. Christ is the Word incarnate, and these Scriptures point us to Christ throughout the Bible, the Old and the New Testaments. Today, we're going to take a close look at Psalm 85 through the lens of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Without the Spirit of Christ, you will not see spiritually. You will not discern spiritually with your mind's eye. For those who have truly been born again, you are equipped with seeing eyes of the soul. That being true, I want us to now view Psalm 85 through the lens of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 85. Lord, how about that? Opens with that very word we studied last week. It indeed is the name of God, Jehovah, Yahweh. So we could be saying, and it means this, Jehovah Jesus, you have been favorable to your land, your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sins. Now, among other things that I want you to see, the words, your land, Jacob, and your people are all really the same thing. Your land is the habitation of God. Jacob, who was renamed Israel, and again we carry that forward to the Israel of God, the church, and your people. These are the habitation of God. This is where God dwells, in his land, in Israel, the Israel of God, the church, his people. And back to that first verse, Lord, you have been favorable to your land, your habitation, your people. That word actually comes from a word which has a basic meaning of jealous. Favorable. He's godly jealous for his people. Zechariah 2:8, the one touching you, his people, is touching the apple of God's eye. He's very favorable to his people. Now there in verse 2, where Jehovah Jesus had forgiven the iniquity of his people, covered all their sin, that brings to mind Matthew 1:21. He shall save his people from their sins. Now first, verse 3 expands upon that a bit. You, Jehovah Jesus, you have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. His wrath there, I think, is defined by the fierceness of his anger from which he has turned away. All his wrath. He has taken away all his wrath. People of God, do we realize that? Well, you say, well, goodness gracious, I know he must be very angry with me upon times. Well, folks, I would suggest to you that God's, what you think is anger, is going to lead to his chastening of you because he loves you. And he cleanses you from all iniquity. Verse 4, turn us, O God, of our salvation. And having been a teacher of English grammar for about 15 years in private schools, that is understood in that particular sentence to begin with you. You turn us, O God of our salvation. Now keep that in mind because we're going to look at that at length in the book of Ezekiel in just a second. You turn us, O God of our salvation. Jehovah Jesus, you turn us and cause your anger toward us to cease. As I said, I want us to go to the book of Ezekiel now, and we're going to look first at Ezekiel chapter 33. Listen closely. We're going to be talking about God turning us. And of course, we're talking about repentance, folks. Turning away from sin and toward God. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 10. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel. Let's cut right to the chase again. Spiritually speaking, through the lens of the Holy Spirit, the house of Israel is the Israel of God, the people of God, the habitation of God, the church. Which means, of course, individual Christians gathered together. Thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Now the reference here, I would point you forward again. Not just talking about living day by day, but we're talking about life eternal. That's what we talk about when we think about spiritual things. Say to them, the Lord God says to Ezekiel, his prophet, say to them, now your Bible say, as I live, let's just leave that word out, as, leave it out, it's inserted. Say to them, I live, says the Lord. Keep that, bank that one as well, because we're going to be depending upon that. I live, says the Lord, and the word Lord here is Adonai, meaning Lord over all. I live, says the Lord God. The word God there, again, is the name of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah or Yahweh. So it reads, says the Lord over all, Jehovah Jesus. Now, folks, this is looking through the lens of the Holy Spirit, and this is what this means. Say to them, I live, says the Lord over all, Jehovah Jesus. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn, from his way and live. And again, the focus here is not living day by day again. It's talking about living eternally, which is living together with the one true God in a union, an intimate relationship. Turn from your evil ways. Repent from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Jehovah Jesus, the Lord God, speaks to his church. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Luke 13:3. This same Jesus, this Jehovah Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise die. Therefore, says the Lord God to Ezekiel, therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, Now listen to this very, very closely. You may want to go back and listen to this again. There's much to unravel here, and we're going to do so when we finish our reading in Ezekiel 33. We're going to move to Ezekiel 37 and explain what Ezekiel 33 is saying. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man. This is talking about man's righteousness. Shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Friends, it's only the imputed righteousness of Christ that will deliver you from your sins. As for the wickedness of the wicked. Now listen to this. This sounds like such a contradiction, but it's totally true. As for the wickedness of the wickedness, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. In other words, on the day that a wicked man truly repents from his sin, his wickedness, he'll not fall because of it. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. And we're going to understand this a little more as we go through here. If you'll listen and view this through the lens of the Holy Spirit and according to the whole counsel of God, all the counsel of God. Verse 13, when I say to the righteous, he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness, and commits iniquity. You need to understand what is meant by commits iniquity. Not only that he does sin, but that he's committed to sinning. This is extremely important, and it's true. But he trusts in his own righteousness and is committed to iniquity. None of his righteous works shall be remembered. Now you just think about that statement, folks. Even common sense will shed light on that for you. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. And again, the meaning there, because of the iniquity that he has been committed to, he shall die. Again, he's going to repeat this for us. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, the prophet speaks as the mouthpiece of God, you shall surely die if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen. You may need to restore some things. Restitution may be in the picture for you. It may not be. It depends on the particular circumstances. And walks in the statutes of life. Now, did you hear that? Walks in the statutes of life. This is life eternal, something that will be implanted in the soul by God. And we're going to see that in Ezekiel chapter 37. Without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. Now, what is the meaning there? Without committing iniquity. It means being committed to. Again, when you repent, you are no longer committed to committing iniquity. You've turned from that. Though you may sin, you are not committed to the sin. And walks in the statutes of life, without being committed to iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. And we're talking about eternal life and eternal death here. Verse 16. None of his sins which he has committed, none of his sins which he has been committed to in the past, shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. And again, he shall surely live eternally. Now that righteousness, again, is going to be explained in Ezekiel chapter 37. Yet the children of your people say, folks, if they don't view it through the lens of the Holy Spirit as we have done thus far, yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair. But it is their way which is not fair. It is the people's way that is not fair. when the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity. Someone who is supposedly working out his own salvation with his own righteousness. When he turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity. And what is our thought there? Have we learned it yet? Is committed to. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and is committed to iniquity. Folks, you see this in a lot of folks who profess to be Christians. This is their profession. For a while they may do okay, and then they fall away. Folks, they never truly repented. They are still committed to their sinning. It's what they are. But when the righteous turns from his righteousness and is committed to iniquity, he shall die thereby. And again, folks, we're talking about eternal matters here. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness, repents of his wickedness, and does what is lawful and right, he shall live. Live eternally thereby. He's no longer committed to the way of iniquity. Yet the people say, the way of the Lord is not fair. And God says, O house of Israel, I will judge every one of you according to his own ways. That is a scary, scary thought, folks. Now let's move over to Ezekiel chapter 37 and confirm seeing through the eye of the Spirit, which we just did in Ezekiel 33. I'm going to be reading 37:1 and then moving to verse 9 through 14, Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord. What is the word Lord there? And folks, I'm looking up every single one of these now. When I look at the Old Testament, I'm going to look it up. Because again, I told you, there are basically the word Lord is going to be translated from the name of God, Jehovah or Yahweh, from Adon and from Adonai, which mean Lord over all. This word, the hand of the Lord, again, is the name Jehovah. So who are we referring to here? The hand of Jehovah Jesus came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, in the spirit of Jehovah Jesus. Now, folks, what did Peter say? We've already read it. It was the spirit of Christ that was in these prophets. Right here you see it. Right there. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of Jehovah Jesus came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of Jehovah Jesus. Now to verse 9. And he, the Lord God himself, Jehovah Jesus, said to me, prophesy to the breath. Now come on, preacher. I think it says wind there, doesn't it? Folks, the word in the Hebrew that we find here can be translated breath, spirit, and wind. All the same word. I'm reading from the New King James Version here, and they translate it incorrectly so. It could be wind, it could be breath, it could be spirit. But the bottom line is, folks, it's the Spirit of Christ. That's the bottom line here. Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God. This is very interesting, folks. I'm so sorry that so few of you viewed last week's message, Lord of All. It was very, very, very enlightening that, again, thus says the Lord God, the words the Lord are Lord over all, again, Adonai, and the word God there is actually the name. So literally what it's saying is, thus says Lord over all, Jehovah Jesus. Now, folks, that's a fact. You can find that in your Strong's Concordance. Thus says Lord over all, Jehovah Jesus. Come from the four winds. He speaks to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. He comes from the four winds. O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Come from the four winds, O Spirit of Christ, and breathe on these slain, these ones who are dead in trespasses and sins, that they may live. Folks, this is a spiritual book. He's not talking about physical life here. He's talking about spiritual life, that they may live spiritually. And may I say again, we're not talking about temporarily. We're talking about eternally. So I prophesied as He, Jehovah Jesus, the Lord over all, commanded me, and breath came into them, and spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, came into them, and they lived. Folks, this is what's happened. This is what happens to you when you are born again. When God resurrects you from the death of trespasses and sins and causes you to live eternally with the Spirit of Christ indwelling you, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. I would suggest to you, if you look at the Revelation, this means it really can't be counted. It's innumerable. Then He, Jehovah Jesus, said to me, Son of man, these bones, now listen, are the whole house of Israel. Folks, we're viewing this through the lens of the Holy Spirit. The whole house of Israel is the Israel of God, Jews and Gentiles, the Israel of God, the church, the people of God, the habitation of God. They indeed say our bones are dry. That spirit of man, here it's referring to bones, metaphorical, if you will. They're stone cold dead, folks. They're dry. Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Verse 12, and the word therefore. Because they speak this way, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God. Once again, this is Lord over all, Jehovah Jesus. The Lord and God. Lord over all, Jehovah Jesus. This is what He says. This is what He says. Oh, my people. Again, I point you to Matthew 1:21. Folks, His people are going to be forgiven for their sins. He's going to give His life a ransom for many. They're going to be saved. They're going to be born again. Listen what He says. I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves. Regeneration, being born again, receiving eternal life in the person of the Spirit of Christ, and bring you into the land of Israel, the Israel of God, the church, even the kingdom of God. Then, once you've been born again, united to Christ in time here. You've been united to Christ from eternity in the purpose of God, but in time. Then you shall know that I am the Lord And guess what that word there is? Actually, it's the two, the Lord. It is Jehovah Jesus. It is the name of God. Then you shall know that I am Jehovah Jesus. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Friends, when you are born again, it's with one thing in mind. It's to bring you together with the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him intimately. That is eternal life. An intimate relationship with God the Father and his Son. Now, I hope you can see how we are verifying what we did in chapter 33 of Ezekiel. This is all proof positive, right in the same book, the same prophet, the same God speaking to that prophet. Verse 14, I will put my spirit, says Jehovah Jesus, in you, in his church, and you shall live. Goodness gracious. And remember, we're not talking about temporary life on this earth. We're talking about you shall live eternally because you have the eternal spirit of Jesus Christ indwelling you. And if you have the eternal spirit of Jesus Christ indwelling you, you have the eternal spirit of God the Father indwelling you. They're one. And I will place you, I, Jehovah Jesus, will place you in your own land. Folks, that's Christ himself making you a member of his church, his church, the kingdom of God. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, what is this one here? It is the name of God, Jehovah Jesus. Then you shall know that I, Jehovah Jesus, have spoken and performed, says the Lord. The word there is Adonai, not the name, but Lord over all. Jehovah Jesus, and now Lord over all. This is the one who has spoken it and performed it. Now let's go back to Psalm 85. Now remember, it was the Lord Jehovah Jesus who spoke it. Back to verse 5 in Psalm 85. What we're going to see now is godly fear in the people of God. Folks, I believe if you're a true Christian, you've all said what these folks say in this particular portion of the scripture. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Godly fear, folks. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God working in you both to will and to do for his good purpose, literally there. Show us your mercy, Lord. Now, guess what the word Lord there is? It's very important that we know this. Show us your mercy, Jehovah Jesus. It's the name of God there. And grant us your salvation. They're not talking about performing their own salvation. They're pleading with God to give them salvation. Oh, goodness, here's where it starts getting real good. I will, the psalmist says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak to his people and to his saints. Remember, we were talking about God speaking over there in Ezekiel. Now, again, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. It's God Elohim is who is the one true God. The Lord, now Elohim is the Hebrew there, Hebrew word for God. The Lord, again, is Jehovah Jesus. It's the name. I will hear what the one true God, Jehovah Jesus, will speak. And in these next words, folks, he is speaking salvation to his people. This is God granting salvation. For he will speak. This is God granting salvation. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Folks, that is what occurs when you're redeemed. That is what occurs when you're forgiven for your sins. That is what occurs when you are reconciled to God. There's peace now between you and God. You have peace with God, which comes with the peace of God in your soul. But listen to the next sentence. Very, very important. Remember now, you can't be committed to iniquity. You may sin, but you can't be committed to sinning again. But let them not turn back to folly. Now, folks, that's another way of saying true repentance. When you do not become committed again to your sin, then you're not going to turn back to your folly, to your sin. You've truly repented. Verse 9. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. And we saw the fear of God there earlier in verses 5 and 6. His salvation is near to those who fear him. Now listen, that glory may dwell in our land. Folks, this is true salvation. That glory may dwell in our land. Now, what do we see the land to be? The land is the church. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ dwelling in the land. Glory dwelling in the land. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And you know what biblical hope is now? We must remember. It's not this, well, I hope that happens, as if there's a question. It's an expectation. The expectation of glory, because Christ is in you. Now moving on toward closing, verse 11, Psalm 85. Whoops, verse 10, I missed one. Ooh, I'm glad I looked back. Mercy and truth have met together. You know, it's an absolute truth that you're a sinner, not worthy of salvation. But thanks be to God for the mercy of God. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. The righteousness of Christ imputed to you gives you peace with God. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The truth came to earth, folks, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brought his eternal righteousness with him. Yes, the Lord will give good. The words, the Lord, again, are the name of God. Yes, Jehovah Jesus will give good. Folks, all things. If you're part of this church, if you're part of the people of God, if you're part of the habitation of God, all things are working together for good to you, because it's Jehovah Jesus who indwells you and is leading you. And our land, now listen to this, we view this through the lens of the Spirit. And our land will yield its increase. Through the eyes of the Spirit, what is that saying? The land, the church, will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's looking at it in the spiritual light, isn't it? Verse 13, righteousness will go before him. Righteousness will go before Jehovah Jesus and shall make his footsteps a pathway. Now, what does that make you think of? I close with this, folks. I flat out close with this. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps a pathway. Psalm 23. Jehovah Jesus, that's what the Lord means there in Psalm 23. Jehovah Jesus is my shepherd. He leads me, Jehovah Jesus. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen and amen.